friends, welcome. Today we kick off our sermon series over the next 10 weeks, The Essential Jesus. Over these next 10 weeks, we're going to return to the heart of the Gospels and focus on 10 core teachings of Jesus that we believe are essential for every Christian to know. Things that I believe are actually essential for us in our own lives, in this place we find ourselves in the world today. And because we live in a culture of fear, division, selfishness, and blame. And friends, it is killing us. It's in our everyday life. It's the air we breathe. And frankly, it kind of stinks. And none of us are immune to it. This culture of fear, division, selfishness, and blame, it's even creeping in and infiltrating the church. It's infecting the hearts and minds of God's people too, myself included. And even in extreme cases, it starts to twist the gospel until the word Christian starts to be used to describe a life that looks nothing at all like the way of Jesus. I mean, how many of us have experienced fractured relationships over divisions? How many of us have lost sleep at night because of fear or worry? How many messages do you hear in a day that say, don't worry about other people, just focus on yourself? Or maybe a message that says to blame those people for whatever the problem might be. Jesus offers us something totally different, an infinitely better story. Jesus shows us a completely different way of life. And so over these next 10 weeks, we are going to get back to these essential teachings of Jesus so that we can learn to recognize when this culture of fear is whispering its lies in our ears, so that we can rediscover the unsurpassing joy of knowing Jesus and the transformative power he has for our hearts, our lives, and our world. You see, friends, we don't fix what's broken in this world by defeating enemies. We fix what's broken in this world by living the way of Jesus, by living in such a way that is so generous, so joyful, so faithful, that it just happens to transform the world, the culture around us. And so before I get into the first essential teaching today, I want to pause and challenge you to go all in with us for the next 10 weeks. What do I mean by this? I mean, don't just let this series and these teachings be something you kind of think about when you are at church that week, but commit to taking this whole journey with us. And maybe there are some weeks where you can't make it to church because of a work schedule or your kids' sports or because the allure of your pajamas are just too cozy on a Sunday morning when it's cold out. I see you online this morning. It's okay. But go back and maybe listen to the sermon on the podcast or watch online so that you follow along with us, asking God to move in your heart. And if something stirs and resonates with you from the message or the readings, write that down and hold on to it. Engage with these Bible readings and devotions we're going to have in the mobile app and the sermon notes every week to sit with this throughout our weeks. Go all in. And most importantly, pray every day, asking God to lead, to change your heart, to move and show you something new. So today, that's my challenge, but today we hit the ground running with what is probably Jesus' most difficult and yet most essential teaching, love your enemies. Now, I know some of you are hoping that we would start with verses like, let the children come to me, or my peace I give you. No, we're going to start with the heavy stuff. Love your enemies, because Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. For me, this is the hardest teaching, but I believe it is actually the most essential. Even though I confess there are many days I might go throughout my life and think, I don't know if I need to think about that. I don't know that I really have enemies. I mean, most of the people I spend my time with are my family, my friends, my coworkers at church. We don't always get along, but when we don't get along, I don't say, ooh, you're my enemy now. No, right? So what does this mean? And maybe you're thinking, Pastor Josh, this is a really great teaching, but I don't really have enemies. But as I was reflecting on the passage this week and on Jesus' words, I came to a realization that this concept is far more relevant on our day-to-day lives than maybe we first think. Here's what I mean. What about when you start scrolling through social media and you get past the puppies and kittens that get you hooked, and then you hit the outrage algorithms and your blood pressure starts to rise? What about that? Or what about when you're watching some sort of news and an opinion-paid pundit is trying to convince you about how awful those people are? Or what about this one, when our favorite politicians start talking in ways that are dehumanizing about our neighbors or our family members as if they're enemies to be defeated rather than fellow human beings to love. There's our test, friends. Will we choose to accept the world's narrative of fear and blame, or will we choose a different way, the way of Jesus? When you feel that anger stirring inside, tempting you to hate, tempting you to turn a brother or sister into an enemy, stop and pray to Jesus. Pray to the one who literally died for his enemy's salvation. Perhaps one of the most humbling verses in all of Scripture for me is Romans 5:8, where Paul teaches us this: "But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You know, if Jesus looks at me when I was still God's enemy with all of my sinfulness and says, "I love you enough to die for you," how can I possibly then turn to another of God's beloved children and see them as an enemy? How can I possibly withhold that same mercy and grace to others that God first extended to me? Jesus says, "Love others as I have loved you," and that means even loving enemies. Why? He goes on in verse 45 to say this: "So that you may be children of your heavenly Father." What does he mean by this? I think he's saying that you cannot become the person God wants you to be if you hold on to enemies in your heart. I'm going to say that again. You cannot become the person God wants you to be if you're clinging to enemies in your heart. And Jesus goes on at the end of this section to say this: "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, I know this seems impossible, so we're tempted to just write it off as like wishful thinking. And yes, it is impossible to do on our own. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we could possibly love like this. But don't write it off. Jesus is serious. Jesus means this is essential. If you miss this, you miss everything. And friends, Jesus doesn't just talk about it. He lives it, right? If you skip ahead from the Sermon on the Mount that we read today to what comes right after, to the very first thing Jesus does after the Sermon on the Mount, it's remarkable. I want to read this for us today. This is from Matthew chapter 8, after the Sermon on the Mount. The very first thing says this: "When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion," that's a Roman soldier, "came to him, appealing to him, and said, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed and in terrible distress.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and cure him.'" Think about that. The very first thing Jesus does after the Sermon on the Mount is he goes to heal the servant of his enemy. Now, I guarantee there were people in the crowd that day listening to that Sermon on the Mount that when Jesus said the word enemy, they didn't have to wonder what that meant. In an instant, they had an image come to mind, and it was a Roman soldier. The people that were oppressing their people, abusing them. And here Jesus has the audacity to say to love them. I can imagine people hearing that and thinking, "How could you say that, Jesus? You see what they do to our people. You saw what they did to my sister. You saw what they did to my brother. How can you say to love them?" See, they don't yet understand the redemptive power of love, of God's love. So Jesus has to show them. So when he comes down from the mountain, he beelines it to this Roman soldier, the enemy, a man who was part of the regime that literally tortured and killed Jesus' own people, and Jesus doesn't hesitate. He listens to him, he loves him, and he heals. He loves his enemy as his first order of business. It's remarkable. And you might be thinking as you hear this story, "You know, Pastor Josh, only Jesus can do that. I'm not Jesus. I can't do that." To which I say there's a reason we challenged ourselves with this reading from Acts this morning, because Paul and Silas were two ordinary men transformed by an extraordinary God. This reading starts with them being stripped and beaten and thrown into prison. They had no idea what tomorrow held. And in the middle of the night, what do we find them doing? They are singing. They are praying. They are praising God. They are ministering to the other people in prison with them. And then when God shakes the foundations of the earth to break open the jail cells, they, instead of running away to save their own skin, they stay behind to save the life of their enemy, the jailer. And as I was reading through this text this week, I realized I'd never noticed this before. Verse 29 says this, that the jailer came in and fell down trembling before them. Why was he trembling? Because he was terrified that he expected these prisoners, these enemies, these criminals to beat him or to even kill him. He thought he would lose his life, but instead, they love him. They preach to him and they save his soul. He was an enemy, but that night, he became their brother. Friends, the lie of this culture of fear, division, selfishness, and blame is this. It says that if you defeat that enemy, then all will be well. But the truth of the gospel says this. If you love that enemy, they could become family. How much more beautiful is that? You know, our culture seems to define strength as the power to defeat or destroy enemies. That's a lie. True power is the strength, the capacity to love enemies. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. knew this well. Now, it may seem intentional that on this weekend when we lift up and celebrate the legacy of Dr. King, that it was intentional that I chose this Bible reading for today, but I have to confess, I can't lie to you, it was an accident. I actually didn't realize the connection until I started working on the sermon on Tuesday, so thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit still works when I miss the obvious. In his sermon, Loving Your Enemies, Dr. King speaks to this so well. He says this, far from being the pious injunction of a utopian dreamer, the command to love one's enemy is an absolute necessity for our survival. Love, even for enemies, is the key to the solution of all the problems in our world. Jesus is not an impractical idealist. He is the practical realist. In the 1960s, when this nation was in turmoil, when this place was in a spiritual and moral crisis, Dr. King and others who were led by the Holy Spirit brought about a spiritual awakening. And the essential ingredient, loving enemies. Resist violence no matter what. Seek your enemies' salvation and conversion, not their destruction. It was this unwavering commitment to loving enemies that eventually changed hearts and minds and brought about a new cultural reality. Maybe, just maybe, Holy Spirit is moving again, calling the church to rediscover the essential Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, loving our enemies is the way to heal from this destructive culture of fear, division, selfishness, and blame, and create something new and more beautiful and more holy in its place, the way of Jesus. So here's my challenge to us this week, church. First, go all in. Look at the sermon notes in the app and those Bible readings and reflections throughout the week. Maybe you take the essential teaching of Jesus each week and write it on a sticky note and put it somewhere where you'll see it every day. Let it shape your heart, your thoughts, your mind, your life. And second challenge is this. Prayerfully reject this culture of fear, division, selfishness, and blame. Notice when it's starting to creep in and say no more. Find small ways to create the culture of Jesus now, every day. We cannot do this alone. Thanks be to God, we don't have to go it alone because the Holy Spirit is already going out ahead of us. And friends, we have the blueprint right here to the way of Jesus, the essential life he offers us. So let's go all in and fix what is broken in this world. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came into this world not just to teach us, but to show us what it looks like to truly love all in a way that transforms and heals and redeems. And God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that moves in our hearts, changing us, empowering us to follow this way. God, open our eyes to the places where we're tempted to live in these spaces that hurt and harm, and teach us, show us the small ways we can create a more beautiful, holy, and grace-filled reality each and every day.